The seven-week wait is over after France's youngest prime minister of the past century. Enter its oldest, Emmanuel Macron, naming Brussels veteran Michel Barnier to try and form a government that can survive a vote of no confidence. The EU's Brexit negotiator will have to muster all of his negotiating savvy. The president's gamble on snap elections delivered in the most splintered parliament since the 1958 constitution. And by the way, the party of lifelong Gaullist Barnier finished fifth in the July elections. That begs the broader question, who's got the legitimacy to govern and with what mandate after these elections? General de Gaulle set up a fifth republic where the powerful president can weigh on policy even when his party's in opposition. How much power does Emmanuel Macron retain now that he has shown his hand and made up his mind? Today in the France 24 debate, the return of Michel Barnier. Joining us from Strasbourg, Fabienne Keller, member of the European Parliament from Emmanuel Macron's Renew Party. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Good evening.
Like Barnier, he's a former environment minister, but not of the same political leaning. Brice Lalonde, president today of the environmental advocacy group Équilibre des Énergies. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Socialist deputy mayor of Paris, Olivia Polsky, is with us as well. Good to see you.
Welcome. I'm here.
Political scientist Damien Lecomte, researcher at Paris Panthéon Sorbonne University. Welcome. And France 24 politics editor Mark Perlman. Good to see you. You can always listen to the show. That's right, listen to it wherever podcasts are streamed. Despite half a century in French politics and stints as foreign minister and European commissioner, Michel Barnier was arguably better known on the other side of the channel as that Brexit negotiator than he was here in France, his midday appointment reviving the 73-year-old's domestic notoriety. Emerald Maxwell has more.
Best known internationally as the European Union's Brexit negotiator, Michel Barnier is a conservative career politician who has held minister positions in several French governments, including under Jacques Chirac and Nicolas Sarkozy. He was first elected to Parliament in 1978, aged 27, representing the Alpine Savoie district. In 1992, he helped organize the Winter Olympics in his constituency, an event still central to his public image. Barnier is pro-European, twice working as an EU commissioner, including from 1999 until 2004 as Commissioner for Regional Policy in the Prodi Commission, then as Commissioner for Internal Market and Services, during which he negotiated new regulation of financial markets after the 2008 global crash. Then in 2016, Barnier took the reins in the Brexit negotiations after Britain's referendum on leaving the bloc.
We avoided cherry-picking, and we defended the values and principles of the European Union. This was our first requirement.
Long seen as a moderate, the 73-year-old toughened his discourse during his failed bid to get his Conservative Party's ticket for the 2022 presidential election, saying immigration was out of control. Since then, Barnier has kept a low profile. For Emmanuel Macron, he offers continuity and reassurance that he won't undo his political agenda of the last few years.
Fabienne Keller, nobody was mentioning Michel Barnier's name until 24 hours ago. Are you surprised by this pick?
Yes, I am surprised, as all the French people. We knew it was very difficult to find somebody that would not have to support a motion de censure, that means be rejected right away by the French Assemblée Nationale. So it was difficult. The first names, such as Monsieur Cazeneuve, who was former Prime Minister of François Hollande, was apparently not safe. He was not sure to be supported by a majority. So this is why Emmanuel Macron, and it's a surprise for all of us, looked for something on the right side of the political spectrum, even though the gains, the numbers of votes on the left side was stronger in July this year. So it was a surprise for all of us. May I say that Gabriel Attal did a good job in, unfortunately, too short a time period but he had to face a great, big agricultural crisis in the beginning of the year. And for Mr. Barnier, it will be a big issue to consolidate a moderate centrist majority with the centrist on the right and on the left. We'll see how it will come out.
Brice Lalonde, is this the right pick?
Do you know what? I was quite surprised to listen to them both. They spoke about their mother, well, it's quite nice actually, but not a word about the war in Ukraine. It's incredible. There is a war in Europe, and you have a country which is rather a big country who has a strong history in interfering, you know, taking care of the world affairs. Nothing, nothing. It's quite surprising. Does it mean France is not interested in foreign policy? Does it mean that we don't care about what's happening? I am shocked. I am surprised because lots of these people, including Mr. Barnier, I suppose, they want to defeat Mr. Putin. But how do you defeat Mr. Putin without triggering a world war? This is something which we need to know. But otherwise, is it a good pick? Oh, well, he's respectable. He has been Minister of the Environment, so he knows about energy systems. He's been a negotiator. You'll probably need his talents to be a good negotiator. But otherwise, I think his profile is more like a technical one. He's the best of the technical picks you could choose.
A technical one.
Technical,
so
not political. Polytechnical.
So in other words, he's kind of like people were saying they should do like the Italians brought in Mario Draghi, the former European Central Bank president. You're saying that he's the same as a Mario Draghi?
I think, yes, he's roughly the same. He's probably not going to be happy if I say that. But I think for Macron, you know, for what can we do? And it's quite interesting because he was a commissioner, the European commissioner. But when he wanted to become president of France, you know, he was candidate to the primaries of the Républicain party, he suddenly said, oh, we must get rid of the sovereignty, of the European jurisdictional sovereignty. We must have back, we must take our sovereignty back. And we found it. I mean, the most incredible anti-European statement at the moment is, of course, incredible. So we don't really know.
Damien Lecomte, is for you, Michel Barnier, a technocrat or a politician?
I'm not convinced he is that technical. I think he is a political choice. And indeed, when he was a candidate for the Conservative nomination, he did adopt some very Eurosceptic stances. And I think, obviously, he's an experimented and a respectable man. But I think that the major political event is that his prime minister, Emmanuel Macron, chose a prime minister who is going to depend largely on the abstention of the National Rally, on the fact that the National Rally will not vote him out. And it's a real major political event, I think. Given divided National Assembly, it was necessary to have a minority government, but the result of the legislative election was a victory of the Republican Front against the National Rally. And the solution could have been a minority government from the left, tolerated by the centrist coalition, but the president chose a right-wing man who was going to be dependent on the National Rally, and that is a major political factor.
Yeah, here's what Michel Barnier has to contend with. A new National Assembly where the largest party is that of Marine Le Pen's far-right National Rally. There you see them in dark blue on that pie chart, while the largest voting blocs, a coalition known as the New Popular Far Right. I'll read you the reaction, Olivia Polsky, of Marine Le Pen, saying, we will be attentive to the project he will carry and attentive to ensuring that the aspiration of our voters, who represent a third of the French, are heard and respected. Is she the kingmaker?
She is. Macron made him the kingmaker, make her the kingmaker, because he has chosen a prime minister coming from the weakest party. I mean, the Les Républicains, who lost the two last elections, the European one and the legislative one, and they even stepped back. And he knew they were weak, and he wanted at first Xavier Bertrand, But Marine Le Pen said no, so he had to choose someone else, and she's making that one. And we all know that it's terrible. In fact, there are three paradoxes with this choice. The first one is that Macron chose a prime minister from the weakest party. The second one is that the left was the first party elected. And the democratic logic was to find a prime minister with the left. And he didn't even try. And then we know that, was said, Macron chose him because the far right said okay. So he lost. What was his conclusion of the legislative? What did he conclude? No change, and even a sort of submission of the far right.
Before I turn to Marc Perlman, Fabienne Keller, you heard Damien Leconte saying that the president had the option of trying to get a minority government that leans between the center and the left. Instead, he's opted for one that's counting on the far right to abstain. Do you agree with that there was this choice?
He tried. It was his choice when he tested, when he discussed with Bernard Cazeneuve. But unfortunately, the socialists, who were, they happened to be in their Congress, decided with a small majority, but with a majority, not to support that type of coalition. So the socialists, who are part of this extreme right and socialist and green coalition, decided not to support that solution. It was the same situation for Mrs. Castet, who was proposed by the left side. So this is why probably, I am not at his place, but he tried another solution, forcing in some ways, at least a part of the Republicans, the moderates, the more European Republicans, to join this future coalition. Yeah, but as some of your people around the table, I am worried about the idea that there could be some relations, some discussions with the Front National, Mrs. Le Pen. And this is very worrisome because clearly the message of the election was we want to stop the Rassemblement National to get the power. So that is not acceptable. So this is why we are all in some way happy that finally we found a solution, a prime minister is designed, but we will check his behavior and if he makes sure to protect the Republican values in the new governments he's going to lead.
Marc Perlman, he mentioned, he saluted law enforcement at the outset. There were a few times talk about law and order during his initial remarks, which we'd carried live earlier. Brice Lalonde pointing out that the new prime minister did not mention Ukraine. Is that also a way of trying to perhaps appease in this time of negotiation the national rally and not throw up a red flag to the far right?
Right. I mean, not mentioning Ukraine, international affairs are essentially the purview of the president. So, you know, it doesn't shock me as much as it shocks you. What he had to say about keeping immigration in check, this was obviously a message sent to Marine Le Pen, clearly. I mean, he said security and keeping immigration in check because he knows that she has a veto right, essentially, on his future. Because if she decides to join hands with the leftist coalition in government in a motion of no confidence, Michel Barnier can say bye-bye to the position of prime minister. So what Marine Le Pen has said is that we won't join the left outright for a motion of no confidence, but we'll see what Michel Barnier has to say and how he will act. So the threat is there. I don't see any national rally ministers in his future government. This would really be an earthquake, but he will be under the threat of the national rally. What's really ironical is that before Emmanuel Macron called for those snap elections, there were lots of pressures, even from the outgoing president Nicolas Sarkozy, I mean the former president Nicolas Sarkozy, to have an alliance between Emmanuel Macron and the conservatives in parliament, and they would have had an absolute majority. And now you find yourself with the same kind of alliance, but a much weaker majority. So politically, we see that what Emmanuel Macron has done is really self-defeating in many ways, because he has a weak president with a weak prime minister. So,
okay, if I can just, something which is don't understandable, which is during the election, there was a coalition. The coalition of the people who didn't want the National Rally to win. And so that coalition, you had the centre-right, you had the Macron people,
yeah,
and you had the left.
It's what's known as the Republican Front. In the
exactly.
second round,
exactly.
you vote against the
and
far
so
right.
If you have a coalition of that sort during the election, why is it that that coalition is not able to rule the country?
Well, we don't know yet, because there hasn't
no.
been...
Well, come on. It's not that configuration.
He hasn't picked his cabinet yet.
Okay.
And the Les Républicains refused to be part of that Republican front.
No, during the election, they were part of it.
During the legislative, they refused.
Well, they split apart. Some of them did support Marine Le Pen, others did not. You mentioned, Olivia Poliski, that the left got, as a block, the most seats. And they even put forth their own pick for prime minister, the hitherto unknown high civil servant, Lucie Castet. Her name was rejected by President Macron. And the left, that left-wing bloc known as the New Popular Front, today, well, it's denouncing this pick of Michel Barnier. Let's listen.
L'élection a donc été volée au peuple français.
The election has thus been stolen from the French people. The message has been denied. And now we see a prime minister appointed with the permission and perhaps even on the suggestion of the National Rally. Even though the second round of the parliamentary elections was wholly focused on ensuring the National Rally should not succeed.
Avait été tout entier concentré à faire échec à ce rassemblement national.
Now, your party is part of that coalition, but you're not a member of Jean-Luc Mélenchon's party. Would you agree the election's been stolen? Those are strong words.
Well, no, I do agree. And I think that Macron should have tested in real, the Lucie Castet's option. As François Hollande said today, he had to test it in reality, not just to seeing a few people.
Why didn't he do it, Damien Lecomte?
Well, he has justified his choice to dismiss Lucie Castet by saying that she would have been immediately voted out because his own coalition vowed to vote her out. But that is a problem, I think. Fabien Keller said that he tried to have a minority government left-leaning, but I think he did not try that hard because he could have called his own members of National Assembly to adopt a more constructive attitude towards the New Popular Front and to be ready to discuss and negotiate with Lucie Castet. And she was willing to. Many of the centrist leaders have blamed Jean-Luc Mélenchon for saying that a New Popular Front government would have to implement all its platform and only its platform. But Lucie Castet was adopting a much more constructive approach. She was willing to negotiate with the centrist, with the centrist coalition. So he did not try very hard to choose a minority government inside the Republican Front. And I think that, once again, choosing a prime minister that in all probability is going to rely on the abstention of the National Rally, it is really at odds with the result of the legislative election, which was a victory of the Republican Front against the National Rally.
So, Fabien Keller, why didn't Emmanuel Macron let the pick of the left, this high civil servant Lucie Castet, have a shot at it and fall on her own sword and then start again? And maybe we'd get Michel Barnier in phase two.
Well, because he decided to protect the institutions and design somebody that had the chance to gather a majority, so not to be kicked out with the motion de censure immediately after her designation. And he counted. And because none of the Republicans, not of the right-wing people, would support her, the Count was not in favor of war. This is why he tried Bernard Cazeneuve. Strange behavior from the socialist, not supporting him, even though he was coming from the socialist group. So he wanted to propose somebody who could resist to this first check and not have an unstable National Assembly and a government, kicked out and several ministers being designed. This was his choice. I think it's very wise to ensure the stability of the institution, and that led to that final choice today. That's very unfortunate that it was not, you know, I am a member of the European Parliament. It's really unfortunate that we were not able to discuss in a positive way all those people who were against the Rassemblement National during the election and find a platform, exclude also extreme left. As you know, it's not possible because they are anti-Semitic. They don't respect certain Republican values. So the people at the center respecting Republican values, gathering and finding, building a common platform that cannot be the platform of a group. And that was, for example, the problem of Mrs. Castel, who wanted to apply the platform of the Nouveau Front Populaire.
I think it's a lie. I think till the beginning, Emmanuel Macron wanted a prime minister from the right party. Of course, the day after the legislative, he had lunch with Xavier Bertrand, Valérie Pécresse, and Laurent Wauquiez.
Members of the Conservative Les Républicains party.
And I'm sure, he already knew he wanted that. That's for sure.
Fabienne Keller, I've read the foreign press these last 7 weeks. There's a lot of disparaging remarks when it comes to the French discovering what's normal in countries like Belgium, the Netherlands, Germany, and that Italy, which is coalition building. There's a feeling that we're still getting it wrong today. What do you say to that?
We don't have this coalition culture. And I'm very impressed when I discuss with my colleagues who describe the Germans, the Spanish recently, the Belgian, that take a long time in Belgium, but in some other countries they do that in 1-2 months, in a reasonable time. They build a common platform and they accept all to differentiate their behavior as what they had during the election and say what is essential for them, not the total program they presented. So it's not yet in the French culture. I hope it will progress because I think it's a very constructive way to look forward. Not saying that a side is right, the other one is wrong on all the subjects. No, by working together, making as a prerequisite the fact that we respect the same values. And this
Fabienne Keller, the question is, when you're doing that coalition building, you have to pick a prime minister fast, and then they try to form fine parties. Why is it that's hard?
Not always. Sometimes they choose the first one and then another one, or they discuss among the party's structures to see whether somebody is naturally leading the new coalition. It's very impressive in the German situation, where they don't always know what form the coalition will take. They have different discussions at the same times with different groups, possible groups. They have some discussion before the elections, I must say also. So it's not at all in our culture. I think it's
in
progressing
culture,
quickly, but it did not permit us to build a real common program where we could gather enough voices to support the government.
Brice Lalonde, this is what sort of clouds the issue a little bit here in France. I saw you shake your head when Marc Perlman was talking about foreign policy being the remit of the president. The point is that the 1958 Constitution made by General de Gaulle does give powers to the president that no other Western European democracy has.
Probably too much, yes, and it's complicated.
Of course,
to
Emmanuel
have the
Macron,
difference, you know, between the prime minister and the president. So these two guys which are driving the country, it's complicated.
But, and even in the past, when we've had power sharing, Yes, it was always the question of who's in control of what. It was an open debate.
Absolutely. They were. But it was Mitterrand and Chirac. They were both going to the international meetings, to the G7, to the G20. Yes, absolutely. But, I mean, in France, the constitution is very clear. It's the government which rules the country.
On paper.
Well, on paper, exactly. And it's very important. I mean, I am concerned by this war in Ukraine. I'm sorry to come back to it. I'm concerned. I'm afraid of a world war. I'm afraid of this escalating all the time. You know, we start by sending arms and after aeroplanes and new missiles which are ready to hit in the middle of Russia. It's very dangerous and we don't care. And our government is also... We are paying a lot of money to Ukraine. We are sending arms, weapons. We could stop. We could have a government saying we have to create a channel to discuss, to negotiate. Mm. How many people are dying every day? I mean, people just don't care. So I'm surprised by that. Okay, but I understand Macron must also be part of the solution. One day Macron said, "Oh, we're going to send French troops on the ground." What? We're going to send French troops
on the
ground?
He said it was a hypothesis.
Yes, but he said it. And right. You must be careful.
It's funny because Emmanuel Macron didn't had any discussions with other parties before. And now he's trying to tell us that we are not able to do a coalition, but he hasn't
tried
before.
We have seen this merry-go-round of political leaders who've been welcomed to the presidential palace over the last 7 weeks, Mark Berman.
Yes, we've seen, but it's been on and off.
And did you get the sense, Mark, that this was negotiations or kind of job interviews that we were watching?
It was essentially job interviews because I don't think there's been a lot of discussion about forming a government. Clearly, you could see in the remarks by Michel Barnier that it was essentially, an impro. I mean, he didn't have a real speech. Yeah. He was just talking off the cuff. And yes, he said there would be changes and so on. I'll be a truth teller and so on. Any of us could give that kind of speech. And so he has to form a government and then build a budget. That's the number one priority because the clock is ticking. Work should have started already on the budget under the close watch of Brussels and financial markets. So that's his top priority. But then... what kind of reforms can he implement? And the problem, I think, Macron has had with the left is that he doesn't want to see some of the reforms come apart, and especially the pension system reform that was deeply unpopular. And clearly the left had said, this is a red line for us. And even, I understand, Bernard Cazeneuve, when he was interviewed, he conveyed the notion that if not an abrogation, a suspension of the reform should be on the table. And this was not acceptable for Emmanuel Macron. With Michel Barnier, yes, they come from different parties, but they agree on Europe, they agree on fiscal policy, they agree more or less, let's say, on immigration, and they agree on maintaining the reform of the pension system. So it's easier for Macron, who has moved towards the right, anyone can see that, to govern with a prime minister from the right.
So, Damien Lecomte, it's back to what we were talking about a moment ago. In France, the president doesn't have to relinquish all the power. He still wants to hang on to his reforms. Did he lose or not the election?
I think Emmanuel Macron did lose the election, but he find a way to maybe have a government that is not going to alter too much of its best policies. I think that it is true that we do not have a coalition political culture in our country, but I must say, I think the centrist coalition, Macron's coalition, was precisely not very constructive in reaching coalition inside of the Republican Front because they did not want to engage any discussion with the New Popular Front on the basis of their platform. They did not even want to acknowledge that they were the largest coalition, and so they had some right to at least be at the initiative to propose a government. And So I think that really Emmanuel Macron wanted to have a government to have a change, but also the least change possible in the policies.
My question is: the institutions allow Macron to keep a lot of the still have a lot of say in all of this.
It is complicated because, as we said earlier, in the Constitution, the president is not the head of a government. He is not the one who decides the policy of the government. It is the prime minister who governs. But it is true that in most of the Fifth Republic, when the president enjoys the support of a majority of the National Assembly, he can appoint a prime minister who defers to him, and so he indirectly but actually governs.
Mr. Steinmeier in Germany, once he's named a prime minister, as he will probably next year when there's new elections, then it's up to that prime minister to form the coalition.
Yeah, absolutely.
The president of Germany doesn't come in and say, well, you should pick this person for this post. Will Emmanuel Macron be trying to weigh in on the cabinet discussions?
Of course. Yes. I think he's probably going to, because we learned that in his discussions with Bernard Cazeneuve and Xavier Bertrand, he wanted to appoint himself the ministers for foreign affairs, for defense, and maybe even for interior and other important ministers. So I think he's probably going to want to choose or to discuss at least many, if not all, of the other members of the Michel Barnier government.
Fabienne Keller, do the French want their president to stay out of it or to get involved?
The French tradition is very different from the German, where the president is not at all dealing with day-to-day issues, executive issues. In the French tradition, as you know, de Gaulle was the first president, so he was very strong, having a prime minister very tightly connected to him. So it was strong. We had some historical times of cohabitation, where the prime minister was not of the same sensitivity as the president. That was the case with François Mitterrand and
Jacques Chirac as well, when Jacques he was
Chirac,
president.
Yes. It was quite tough because they were discussing a lot about whose responsibility it is to represent France in the European institutions or for some important issues of decision. We had it again with Jospin, but it's not the use in the fifth constitution, French constitution. It's very different of any other European situation.
And what do the French want, is my question.
Where the parliament's place is stronger.
What do the French want?
The tradition of the French was to have a very strong president and a government very linked to the same majority that is the one in the National Assembly. It's not anymore the case. We don't have a clear majority supporting the president. So we have to build something new. And this is the full issue of the new coalition we have to build. Maybe we are not at the end of the road to find a new way to manage this very specific political situation.
Mark Perlman was mentioning earlier pension reform being one of those political third rail issues during the campaign. It was the left, but also the far right, that wanted to repeal or at least amend the pension reform bill of a couple of years back. Marine Le Pen's party this Thursday easing off a little bit when it comes to pension reform, saying that's not the priority. But one of the demands made is a campaign promise that was made by Emmanuel Macron back in 2017, proportional representation in parliament. France currently has a two-round system. It's by constituency, which effectively amounts to 577 individual races. This is what the National Assembly looks like today, in fact. French newspaper Le Monde did several simulations with what the National Assembly would look like if it had proportional representation. This one's the most straightforward. This would be according to the national tally of the overall vote. And you see that it would be quite different. You'd still have, though, a three-way parliament. Fact is, today's politics, Brice Lalonde, you no longer have the big tent center-right party, the big tent center-left party. It's splintered, as it's splintered, by the way, in a lot of European countries. Your thoughts, proportional representation, would that help or hurt?
We thought the German solution was the best. You have half of the parliament is a direct vote, like in France or like in the UK, and the other half is proportional. So it's sort of a balance of the two systems, and I thought it was the best.
Olivia Polsky?
Well, we are in favor of the proportional.
How would it change the culture of French politics?
Well,
because you'd have to build coalitions. You'd have to be the Dutch have spent 7 months, by the way, forming a government.
We were able. I think we were able to do such a thing. But after if we have a party that is in the first one, you have this is a leader of a government, of a coalition. So he has to try to find some compromise, but he has some a base.
Why are politics more splintered than they used to be, Damien Leconte? Why is it now that it isn't just a straightforward left versus right? Why?
It's a very complicated question. There is a lot of factors in that. The rise of Emmanuel Macron's party in 2017 has fragmented the French party system. It is clear, but it is clear also that our institutions and our political culture right now are not really adapted to this new situation. And I do think that, as we said, our political culture right now is not in favor of coalitions, but it is, I think, also because the institutions and the electoral incentives with the presidential election and with the majority electoral system do not favor coalitions. I think that indeed, if we have a new proportional representation, it could indeed favor the more coalitions, because right now any bloc can still hope that with a very small plurality of the votes, they can reach an absolute majority in the National Assembly with the majority system. So it does not favor coalitions right now.
Fabienne Keller, do you agree?
Yes. I would say also that if we have a proportionate election, then it means that the candidates are chosen by the party. It's a party system. Mm. Whereas inconsistency is the party, but it's also due to the link to the person, his or her personality, his capacity to go talk to the citizens. So it means that the half and half system might be balanced, the good one, as said the Brice Lalonde, because it has a big default. This party system is dangerous.
Yeah, and Mark Perlman, we know that in other countries you, can lob insults at your opponents up to a point if you know that you're then going to have to negotiate with them on the day after the election.
Right. But it's true. I mean, there is, however, I mean, clearly, I mean, this election and now this trying to find a prime minister, there's a legitimacy issue. I mean, people are complaining about politics and so on. And you've had it in the election. The National Rally has said this artificial Republican front, and we see that it didn't last very long, was done just to prevent us from winning. If there was a proportional vote, at least we would be represented. And so people were saying, well, it's just the far right, because they were shouting for years when they were a small minority. But clearly, there is an argument to this that, you know, the National Assembly should represent the votes of the people. And if you have 30% who vote for whichever party, there should be, you can always amend it, have a 5% threshold, but there needs to be. Emmanuel Macron promised it. The problem is that he didn't have enough votes for a constitutional reform because the Senate is in the hands of the right and didn't want it. But maybe, we didn't hear Michel Barnier mention this at all, but maybe it will come up in his policy speech before Parliament. There is a need to do this, at least to tell the people, we're listening to you, because right now it seems that the politicians are living in their own world.
Olivia Polsky, the National Rally taking a pragmatic approach, saying we want one third of the vote. They're not, even though they're the single party that got the most seats, they're not claiming they won. They didn't. Is the left perhaps shooting itself in the foot? We're hearing a lot of people saying we won the election.
Well, we didn't say we won the election. We said we were the first party, and that's not exactly the same. But in fact, that was a choice of the French people, and I think that we have to listen to the French people's choice. And
what's the pragmatic way forward?
The National Rally, Marine Le Pen is quite intelligent. She knows, and she's waiting her turn in 2027. So she lets Emmanuel Macron and the right and the Republicans do what they want. And she isn't just saying, okay, I'm not agree with this one, but I do agree with this one. She's choosing, and she's leading the choice, and she's showing it. She's showing how weak they are.
Just a word on final word on this one point. Damien Leconte, again, I asked that question, what do the French want at this point? Because we've seen polls are confusing. On the one hand, we saw the results. On the other hand, I saw a poll last week that said that the prime minister who just left, Gabriel Attal, was the most popular among the list of candidates for prime minister. So what do the French want at this point?
It is very hard to say, because obviously the French people is really divided, and it is reflected on this very divided National Assembly. But once again, I think that the major political event is that the legislative election was a defeat of the National Rally because of this Republican front. In this Republican front, the New Popular Front, the left-wing alliance, was the driving force of this Republican front, and the centrist coalition benefited of it the most. And I think it is really at odds with the result of the election that now we have a conservative Republican prime minister that is going to rely on the National Rally to stay in power. I think that between the result of the election and now this choice of prime minister, there is a real hiatus, I think.
I think we want to be proud of our country. I mean, the French people want to be proud of their country. They want to be proud of their politicians. They were so happy with the Olympic Games. Fantastic. It went very well. And you had good, and it was nice to see the guys jumping and everything. So our politicians, they don't propose anything. What's the beautiful horizon? Where are we? You know, what are they proposing? And we've got the parties. People don't like these discussions between the parties. You know, that was De Gaulle when he came in after the Fourth Republic. He said, oh, all these parties discussing, we don't know what they're discussing about. We need something more simple. And of course, somebody we admire, which was Charles De Gaulle. And so it happened that way. So in France, we still have the nostalgia of De Gaulle, of a great man with a fantastic, way of being listened to. We are sad. We don't have great politicians. That's something we are afraid of.
What advice would you give Michel Barnier today, Lydia Polsky?
I'm not able to give an advice to Michel Barnier, but I'm sure he's not going to have a left policy. So,
if he reaches out to the left,
he maybe try to pick some personalities. He will, but that's not our program. That's not what we are.
He's not bad. He was the first right-wing politician who took seriously into account the environment. He was the first. Before him, environment was just something with flowers and birds. And he came in, he was a good minister for the environment. And he was the first one to be serious from the right side. So this man is not so bad. Let's wait and see. I mean, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. Well, he's probably going to listen to the left also. He knows he has to.
Final question, Fabien Galère. Is it mission impossible for Michel Barnier to broaden his room for maneuver, his coalition, those who he can work with?
I hope not. I think he has a large experience, a capacity to listen to all. I hope he will stay the centrist, the social Gaullist I happen to have known in the past. I don't like his last positions he took when he was candidate in the primary election of the Republicans against the European treaties on migration issues. So I hope it will be open to unite French body, people in France who are profoundly divided with excessive words on and ideas on the extreme right and the extreme left. So he has this difficult job to reconcile a majority of representatives in the National Assembly, but also French people.
And he's going to have to first off try to form a government. Fabienne Keller, many thanks for joining us from Strasbourg. I want to thank as well Brice Lalonde, Mark Perlman, Daniel Leconte, Olivia Polsky. Thank you for being with us here in the France 24 debate.